Pass in left corner to Aguilla. Aguilla the left circle. Pass it to Yell. A shot. Save made by Yell. Aguilla's rebound. Another shot. They score! The Flames win it! Yeah, baby!
They score!
And the sea of red erupts!
Flames Talk starts now on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Here's Pat Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson.
All right, happy Friday, and let's get it going. We are underway this hour on Flames Talk. It is Friday, July 12th. We are still bringing you Flames Talk into the final Friday of the 2024 Calgary Stampede. Welcome in, Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson. Welcome to the Sports Drive, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. When it comes to your business, knowing your property secure is better than wondering who's getting in. Get peace of mind at CalgaryLockAndSafe.com. Does it sound a little bit like it's day seven, day eight Stampede?
I was just going to make note of the fact that it sounds like you've maybe been screaming into a microphone over a raucous crowd. How's it been so far?
It's been good, and happy to be bringing you this hour of Flames Talk. Happy to be bringing you the final couple hours of Flames Talk. Not happy because I'm leaving, but just happy to say that we have done Flames Talk almost without pause from the beginning of September to July 12th.
Yeah. We've covered a lot of ground this year.
Can you tell me one Calgary Flames topic or discussion that we have not hit on over the last 10 months?
You know, I can tell you a couple of Calgary Flames topics and discussions that I'm happy we no longer have to hit on.
We will never have to talk about Jacob Markstrom being traded again.
Yeah, that'll be nice. Lindholm being traded.
Noah Hanifin being traded, is he going to sign?
We can cross those ones off the list. Will the Flames draft Tej Aginla?
We got some mileage out of that one. Did we? Did we talk about that at all?
It's been a great season, though.
It has been
a great season of Flames Talk, and it's been a very interesting season to follow the local hockey team.
It has been a very interesting season. I can't remember a year where there were as many just ready-made storylines for us, and then all of them got taken care of, every single one of them, starting with Michael Backlund signing and being named captain right at the beginning of the season to trade. And then all of a sudden, the trade deadline was here, and you're like, oh, what do we talk about now?
I guess we're
talking about the team on the ice.
I'm going to throw a curveball at you. We're going to add this to the second segment.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about what was your personal most memorable moment of the Flames this year.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
I'll come up with one too.
Okay. Let me
add that to the next segment.
Yeah. Want to kick off this hour, finishing off our list of burning questions. We've done our burning off-season questions all week on Flames Talk. Back at the beginning of the week with Vix, we did our burning questions on the group of forwards. Earlier this week with Wes, we did an hour on the burning questions on defense. And on this Friday, burning questions between the pipes. And this is the way that I would phrase it. I think forward is the most interesting conversation just in terms of all the different permutations. Like, who is Huberto playing with? Is he playing with Sharangovich again? Is he playing with Mantha? Is Sharangovich a winger? Is Sharangovich a center? Is Zeri a winger? Is Zeri a center? Where does Mantha fit? Where does Lomberg fit? Where does Coronado and Pelche fit? You know, I think all of the permutations that go into the forward group make that the most interesting conversation to me. I think the defense group is the most uncertain group, and I think goaltending is the most wide open position that this team has going into the season, going into training camp. Is it fair? Is it fair when I say it's the most wide open and the most kind of like up for grabs position going into training camp and could go in so many different directions here?
Yeah, I think that's a fair way to put it. I mean, the bottom of the defense depth chart is wide open to me, right? Like how the sort of bottom of the six on defense shapes up, that to me is wide open. And I would say sort of the middle of the forward cast is wide open to me. What's so fascinating about the goalie discussion is the wide openness starts at the top of it. Yep. What, you know, we're talking about some, we're talking about a legitimate training camp battle for whoever is going to be between the pipes on opening night. And there are three guys, and certainly Devin Cooley on a two-way contract is the dark horse in this discussion, but you don't have to really think or daydream too much to imagine three different guys between the pipes on opening night. I don't think it's going to be Cooley, but if he plays his butt off in training camp, why not?
Yeah.
Right? And so that's the part that makes it so interesting to me, is that those questions start right at the top.
Well, let's get right into them. We'll go back and forth like we did on Wednesday with our defense questions.
Sounds great. What do you got for me?
Will there be a number one goaltender at any point this season? Like, will there be, do you see a scenario where one of these three guys, Cooley, Wolf, Vladar, establishes himself as kind of the default option? So, okay, game day, Wolf's, you're going with Wolf,
yeah,
unless he's tired. You're going with Vladar.
The old set it and forget it,
yes,
kind of approach.
Do we get that at any point this season? I honestly don't think we do.
No, I don't think we do either. I think, and I'll explain why I say that. I remain unsure of what is a reasonable expectation for Dan Vladar, whose save percentage has hung around in the eights when he's been in Calgary. Everyone knows that, you know, that number needs to start with a nine if you're an NHL goaltender. And I just don't know what is a reasonable expectation or what is a reasonable thought on how much that hip injury has hindered him. I don't know, because I don't know all the history of the injury, how much I've seen Dan Vladar play without a hip issue.
Probably have my mic on. That's one of the things I'm really like, at what point, we know that he played with it and it was very clearly something that was bothering him and impacting him for most of this past season. But how much was it somewhat impacting him before it became, you know, very, very apparent, you know?
Right. And I've shared this before. You know, I know that going back, it would be 14 months now, the reason Dan Vladar didn't go to World Championships was because of an injury that had been lingering for a while. I have every reason to believe that's the same injury.
Same thing.
I think he's been dealing with this for a while. So to go back to your initial
question. That's parts of two seasons then, at least.
Absolutely, okay. Yeah. And so to go back to your question, do we see a number one goalie? I think Dan Vladar just has a really long way to go to show me that he can be that number one workhorse. I don't think, as highly as I think of Dustin Wolf, I don't think you're going from one NHL start to 15 to 55 or 60. You know, I think the next step in his progression is to start 35 or 40 games. And then I really don't, you know, I've seen Devin Cooley play, I believe, one live hockey game. It wasn't a very interesting one because it was game 82 of the season, I believe. Or did he play them in
I don't remember.
Anyway.
I
don't know what to expect from Devin Cooley either. And so with all that in mind, I think they've got some intriguing options. I just don't know. I don't know that we see a guy emerge as a clear number one. I really don't think we do.
I don't either. I think that we're talking about a scenario where for the beginning of the season, you probably see Wolf and Vladar try to get their feet wet and try to gain their footing. I remember talking to Kevin Woodley earlier this week, and our goalie guru basically said, both guys, it's going to be a process, and it might take a few months for both Wolf and Vladar. My expectation is, and I think Cooley is well aware of this as well, my expectation is that he, and it was game 82.
It was. I was just trying to check that as well. Yeah.
My expectation is that indeed Cooley starts in the American League. They go with Wolf and Vladar as your goaltending tandem. Obviously, injuries and tweaks and all those types of things can change that over the course of a training camp. But I think both guys will be given opportunities to really kind of get their feet set again. For Wolf, his first ever time starting a season at the highest level. And for Vladar, his first time ever coming off of major hip surgery that is supposed to make a huge difference in his mobility, but now you've got to go out and get used to that new mobility, and you got to get used to being back at 100% in terms of your flexibility. So it feels like for both, there's a really good chance this might be a little bit of a process.
Yeah, and I think, you know, when you talk about the importance of evaluating these two guys and figuring out, okay, what do we have here? Is Dustin Wolf the hot shot prospect that so many, myself included, believe he can be? You know, does he have that ceiling that we haven't seen in a Flames goaltending prospect in a long time? What is Dan Vladar with a repaired hip? What does that look like? The key word for me in evaluating these guys, because we hear goalies use this term all the time, is rhythm. You can't evaluate a goalie if you're just putting them in every couple of weeks for a spot start. And for that reason, it's been tough to evaluate Dan Vladar, although part of my concern there would come from the fact that he has faltered when he's had an opportunity to take the ball and run with it. Now, that was a couple years ago. What would that look like now? And so I think if you really want to find out what you have in those two guys, you have to let them get into some sort of rhythm. And for that reason, I think you'll see a guy start a couple, the next guy start a couple, maybe even a fairly close to traditional rotation. I don't think you'll see either go very long without getting in unless one guy happens to, you know, rip off four or five straight wins and then you kind of have to leave them in.
All right. What's your first burning question?
What? And I want you to include the sort of two levels in this, NHL and AHL. What is the best case scenario for Flames goaltending in the coming season? Like, what would have to happen with, let's talk about sort of the four or five guys in the equation. What would have to happen for you to say, man, that was kind of the best case this year?
Okay, a few things. Number one, the first thing that comes to mind is, I think if Dustin Wolf on merit earns 40 plus starts and shows that he can maintain a 900 above 900 above 905 save percentage over a workload like that, that to me would be point number one. Like Dustin plays well enough to earn 40 plus starts and have himself a respectable number. Two would be Vladar shows that he is, that the hip surgery was necessary. The hip surgery is helpful, and he's back to looking more like the guy, you know, in 20 games, 30 games, maybe more, that we saw from him two seasons ago. Those are the two things that come to mind. And this is no knock on Cooley, who I'm really, really intrigued by. But, you know, if Devin Cooley's great at the American and or NHL level, awesome.
Yeah.
If he's not, oh well. You know, I don't, as much as I think that there's some real upside and potential there, if it isn't realized, it's not the end of the world. But with Wolf and Vladar, those are two things that I think need to happen for it to be a best-case scenario. And then the rest of the way, I think you'd like to see one of the newly signed Ignatiu or Connor Murphy coming back in his second year, kind of establish himself. Maybe not as an AHL one, because that's going to be Cooley, but establish himself as, this is the, in the American League, good goalie.
Yeah.
And one of those two guys doing that along with Devin Cooley as a tandem, that would kind of be the third point for me.
Okay. I agree with most of what you said, and I'm not disagreeing with any of it, but you know, one of the things that I had jotted down was you need Wolf to show that he's fully ready, like ready to be a full-timer. And I hadn't necessarily put a number of starts. I think 40 plus is a good ballpark, but I just want to see a guy who's not overwhelmed by the stage. And I don't expect he will be. I want to see a guy who's not overwhelmed by the fact that there's going to be some really tough nights. Like there's going to be some tough nights for goalies next season, especially with some of the question marks on this defense core. I just want to see a guy who looks like, yeah, he's exactly where he should be now in terms of being a full-time NHLer. My best case scenario means that by the end of this coming season, you're going to have a verdict one way or the other on what you think Dan Vladar is. No more sitting around on Flames Talk in the summer saying, we don't know. We don't know if Dan Vladar can be a number one. We don't know if his 8-whatever save percentage can be blamed on a hip injury. I think at this point, and also with his contract status, I think by the end of this season, you just need to know, like, hey, what do we have here?
Yeah.
Do we have a guy who we think can play 20? Do we have a guy who we think can play 40? Do we have a guy who maybe isn't reaching the potential that we thought he might have? I think just by the end of the season, obviously the best case is that you think he's a guy who can, you know, be a long-term contributor or a mid-term contributor to your team. But mostly I just want a verdict on it. I just want to know if I'm the Flames exactly what we have in Vladar.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the last guy I'll touch on is Ignatiu. I think if he proves in his first season in North America that he's worth keeping, obviously just signed a 1-year deal last spring coming out of, for those who don't remember who we're talking about, Walter Ignatiu was the top goalie this past season in the second division of the Swedish pro circuit. A guy they're really high on, signed a 1-year two-way contract with the Flames, I think back in March or April.
March, I believe. Right after, very shortly after March 1, which was when you could start signing guys out of Europe.
Okay.
So sometime in the early March area.
Once his team was eliminated.
His team was eliminated, and then you can't do anything until after March 1st.
And so if he shows that he's worth a prolonged investment, even if that's just another 1-year contract, that would be on my list. Let me ask you one more.
Yeah.
Let me jump ahead here just because I think it fits in.
Yeah.
How much rope are you willing to give Dan Vladar at this point to show he can be a starter?
I'm willing to give him most of the season.
Okay.
Because of the surgery thing.
Yeah.
Or at the very least, I'm willing to give him into the new calendar year to just continue to go back to him and continue to show faith and all that type of stuff. Because especially with this goaltending department and how open it is with Jason LaBarbera at the NHL level, you know, he has a great relationship with his goalies and Dan Vladar just being honest with him, saying the hip doesn't feel right or it's still, I'm still not comfortable with it. Like, continue to have that open feedback. I think you have a little bit of leeway there. So I would give a fair amount of rope this season, close to a full season, if not at least a half season.
Yeah.
Let him again get comfortable with a completely reconstructed part of his body that is pretty important for the position he plays.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I absolutely think that's fair. And I know I said how much rope to show he's a starter. I think he's going to be platooning, so maybe that's not the right way to put it. But
maybe it was rope to see that he's got potential as a starter, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's not very often you've watched a guy for 3 seasons and sort of find yourself wondering exactly what he might be. But I do think Dan Vladar still fits that description.
Here's the last burning question for me.
Okay.
Are we sleeping on Devin Cooley? Like, does this have the potential to be a sneaky signing? Sneaky good signing.
Well, you know, we had, would it have been a week ago today, we had Jordan Sigalet, the Flames director of goaltending, on the show. And
was that last Friday?
I believe it was. Oof. If you missed that, some really interesting insights. You can check out the podcast. Some really good stuff on all the goalies, really. But we started talking about Cooley. I think we might be sleeping on Devin Cooley because of how excited the Flames goaltending department is to get him. Like, this was a guy that they certainly had targeted in free agency. He's a guy that I think they actually would have targeted sooner if they didn't have a glut of goaltenders as well. You know, I remember, not on the radio show, but in a separate conversation I had with Jordan Sigalet, he told me, like, we didn't really understand why he was buried in Buffalo the way he was. And so I think that's a guy they probably would have tried to get sooner if they didn't have so many bodies in the crease. And so, yeah, I think we might be sleeping on him. My only hesitation is, and maybe Devin Cooley just comes in and knocks your socks off, and, you know, I hate to even mention him in the same conversation, but, you know, there was a goalie who came in from San Jose one time and turned out to be pretty good for the Flames.
He did do just that.
Also, you know, a guy who had not really had much opportunity before. My hesitation, buddy, is that if Devin Cooley is starting a bunch of games for the Flames, I wonder what's gone wrong elsewhere. And maybe gone wrong is not a fair way to say it, but like, I wonder if that means that Dan Vladar's had a setback in his recovery from hip surgery, or if that means that Dustin Wolf hasn't shown what we think he's capable of at the NHL level. Like, when I close my eyes and try to envision a scenario where Devin Cooley is the number one goalie in Calgary, what I'm envisioning is more about what's gone wrong with other guys than what he's done right. Maybe not fair to Cooley, a guy who I just don't know enough about, haven't seen enough, but if we're sleeping on him, I think that's the reason why.
Yeah, I like the way that you phrased it early on where you said, it feels like we might be just because how excited Jordan Sigalet and his goalie department are. And you know, when they go through he gets the initial read on him, then brings LaBarbera and Mackenzie Skapski into the conversation. Mm-hmm. And they all were really big fans of his. I know that the goalie world believes there's a lot of upside with him. And look, this position is as nonlinear as it gets.
Yeah.
So, you know, the potential and upside are just that, but there's never any really good feel as to whether or not that guy gets to that upside. But you hear Kevin Woodley, you hear other goalie experts, former goalies, former goalie coaches talk about the skill set that Cooley brings to the table. I feel like maybe we are sleeping on a guy with some, and I don't know if it's number one potential necessarily, right, but maybe to be a regular NHL goaltender and give the Flames more options when it comes to assets, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I'm fascinated for very much the same reason by Valtteri Iheanacho, because the Flames goaltending department under Jordan Sigalet has done a very good job of identifying goalies, whether they're in North America or elsewhere, to sign. I mean, David Rittich is, when you look at guys signed as undrafted free agents out of leagues in Europe, David Rittich is one of those shining examples. Yeah. That's exactly what you're looking for. You know, even the fact that they brought over, was it Artyom Zagadulin?
Zagadulin, yep.
And he played NHL games is, you know, that's another really good find on the free agent market. And so I know how excited Jordan was to get Iheanacho too, a guy who, you know, played on kind of a middle of the road team and put up really good numbers in Sweden. And so that excitement makes me really intrigued by that addition too. But you're right, like they're buzzing about the opportunity to get Devin Cooley. You know,
yep.
Jordan's already talking about the things that Mackenzie Skapski is going to be working with him on, which, you know, is a very strong hint that he's starting with the Wranglers, as we all expect. Like they can't wait to kind of get their hands on this project and see what they can do with it. And so, yeah, we might be sleeping on him, but he's sort of similar to Dan Vladar when Dan Vladar arrived in Calgary, right? Similar frame, similar amount of experience at that point in his career. Obviously, Dan was a few years younger, so I don't think this is a snap your fingers and Logan Cooley's the number one guy, and I know you don't think that either, but could this potentially be one of those finds that you look back on and say, geez, that was a really good get as a free agent? Yeah, why not?
Few texts at 960-960. This says, guys, I see Vladar starting in the American League. Cooley and Wolf start. Vladar gets comfortable in the A. See what happens next. That comes from Ian in Cranbrook. The only worry there would be waivers.
Yeah.
Two of the three goalies on the team do need waivers. Now, I think that the feeling is early on, you won't get a guy like Cooley claimed on waivers if you send him down early in the season. There might be a little bit more worry that a guy like Vladar gets claimed on waivers if you put him on early on.
I'd look at it the other way simply because of the numbers, right? Dan Vladar's got a $2.2 million cap hit. And I don't know, knowing how many teams are strapped against the cap, I don't know how many teams could consider a claim on a $2.2 million goalie. I think Devin Cooley comes in at the league minimum,
yeah,
doesn't he?
$7.75.
Yeah, and so...
No, that's fair.
What would have to happen to make me nervous in that scenario would be a team maybe has a high profile injury in camp to one of their goalies, and they're looking for an insurance policy on waivers. That's where you might be worried about trying to get either of those guys down. But yeah, it's an interest that I don't see Dan Vladar.
No, I feel like if this was a couple years ago,
mm-hmm.
I would feel more worried about him getting claimed. But now with the contract and the last couple of years and the hip surgery, no, you actually changed my mind on that.
Like yeah.
I actually think you could get into the American League to start.
Remind me who that text was from.
Ian in Cranbrook.
Yeah. Ian, how I could see it more likely than Dan Vladar starting in the AHL is if he needs some more time, Dan Vladar starting the season on the injured list and kind of having a three-goalie system with Dan Vladar just getting a few extra, like sort of an extended training camp. And just for anyone that missed our chat with Jordan Sigalette, the plan is for Dan Vladar to be back on the ice sometime this month in Czech Republic. So he is on track to be full go for training camp, but he's going to be on the ice mostly just skating before he gets into any of those explosive post-to-post hip type movements. And so again, to Ian's point about maybe Vladar starts in the minors to get that comfort level, I could see a more realistic scenario where he starts on injured reserve and gets kind of an extended runway to feel better about
that.
Start
with Wolf and Cooley in the NHL?
If you have to. Yeah. I could see that more likely than sending Vladar to the minors.
This says, I'm on Team Tank this year, so to me, it'll be a successful year if Wolf looks more comfortable in the NHL and Vladar has good analytics but doesn't necessarily win games on his own, which makes him a decent trade chip. This says, Cooley and Wolf would be incredibly exciting for the organization. And this says, how are you going to see what the goalies are like when you might have the weakest defense core this season? Well, that's why you have goalie departments. That's why you have analytics. That's why you have scouts. That's why you have guys like Sigalette watching from afar.
The numbers aren't going to look great.
No, there's a potential it could be a rough year in that regard.
Yeah. I mean, I think that sort of explains Dustin Wolf's numbers so far, since a bunch of his opportunities came after trading some defensemen away. Like the numbers, we're not going to be talking about a Vezina candidate the way it looks like things are playing out, but certainly to Pat's point, that's why you have your goaltending experts, because they know what they're looking for.
We are underway this hour on Flames Talk. It's Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson along with you this hour, coming at you from our Groundworks downtown studio, your local experts for foundation and crawl space repair.
Anything and everything Calgary Flames. It's all on Flames Talk. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
All right, this is our final show of the season, or one of our final shows of the season. We've got an Eric Francis Hour on this Friday as well, but for Pat and Wes Gilbertson, first of all, I'm sorry for speaking in the third person. For me and Wes Gilbertson, I really hate doing that. I apologize profusely. What an idiot. For you and I, our final talk on Flames Talk until we get into later into August.
I'd say our final talk period until August. Yeah.
Yeah, we don't need to talk to each other.
Could use a little break.
Let's talk big picture on the Flames to wrap up the hour.
Yeah.
Because Flames Talk, unless there's something big that happens, and then obviously if I'm in the country, we'll do something. We'll reconvene an emergency Flames Talk, but aside from something, well, maybe you won't, but I will. unless that happens, we're on hiatus for 4 weeks after that. So how do we feel about the direction of the Flames right now? How do we feel about how this team is trending since Craig Conroy took the helm about 14 months ago in May 2023? Like, do we feel like this team is on the straight and narrow, or at the very least, do we feel like they have been positioned to go down a different path than we've watched this team go down for the last, 10, 15 years?
Yeah, I don't know how you couldn't feel that way. I mean, this team, I've been covering the Flames full time for the past dozen seasons, and this to me is probably the most clear direction that they've had in that time. You know, this especially in the past handful of years, this is as sort of obvious as the big picture direction has been to me. And I guess I'll just repeat what I've said a whole bunch of times. You know, the challenge is sticking to it. The challenge is, embracing this sort of roster reconstruct and then sticking with it kind of no matter what happens next. The way I've put it to several people that have asked me about it, whether I see them on the golf course or whatever.
Okay, easy. When are you ever there?
Well, starting for the next 4 weeks, really often, I think.
Good.
The way that I've put it is that the Calgary Flames are almost done the easiest part of a rebuild, and that's trading away the established pieces that can fetch you some of those future assets in return. Not saying there won't be more trades like that, but deciding this direction, and especially when the players not wanting to stick around help you decide it, that's the easy part. And take nothing away from Craig Conroy, but the hard part now, there's a whole bunch of teams who have decided, yeah, we're getting younger. The hard part is the process of then, okay, injecting that youth into your roster, picking the right guys, signing the right free agents, making the right trades, making the right draft picks. That's the hard part of a whatever you want to call it,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
There's a reason that there's teams that have been trying to rebuild or retool or whatever for 10 years. It's because they haven't done it right. And so absolutely, Craig Conroy deserves a ton of credit for the direction he's taken. I think it was an overdue direction for the Calgary Flames. But the hard part is still coming up. The hardest part is now stocking the cupboards with those guys who are going to be difference makers for this team for years to come. Zane Parekh, from the limited amount that I've seen him so far, absolutely looks like he has potential to be one of those guys. Dustin Wolf, I believe, has potential to be one of those guys. Connor Zary, Matt Coronato, those can be really good supporting pieces mm-hmm. for a good team for years to come. It's just, they're at the start of this climb now. This is not an easy road.
So I think the thing that is most promising, or the thing that is most apparent, is that it does. I don't know if the plan is going to be successful. I don't know if Craig Conroy is going to eventually nail this. I don't know if Craig Conroy is going to bring this team back to being a contender or to win a Stanley Cup. I don't, because obviously I can't see the future. But it feels like there is a plan, and it feels like the plan is different than what the plan has been in years past. And honestly, I have not always been critical of the path in years past. Like, for instance, a little more than two years ago, when they traded a good number of assets to bring in the likes of Cale Yarncroke and Tyler Toffoli and made those deals leading into a playoff year, which was trending to be one of the best seasons in team history, it got us a Battle of Alberta. I remain steadfast that I have no problem with Brad Treliving making those moves in the spring of 2022. But far too often over the last, whether it be in Brad's tenure or the regime prior, kind of sawing off your arm to spite your leg to try to keep yourself. That's a really graphic image, and I apologize. But to keep yourself.
At least you didn't say Pat's leg that time.
Yeah, that's true. I already apologized, okay? Sorry for speaking in the third person. It feels like they're not sacrificing to stay where they are.
Yeah.
And to stay, like, competitive. And, you know, maybe if we get in, we can do something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that to me is an unsustainable way of running your hockey team. And I think it has shown that over the last number of years. And now, with Craig Conroy taking over and scanning the evidence that he has in front of him, it feels like there's a plan. And to me, that is refreshing, whether or not it ends up being a positive or not.
Yeah, and I think with the tenure that he has in the Flames front office, I think, you know, if Craig Conroy was sitting here discussing this right now with us, I think he'd nod in agreement when I said, I believe he's learned some lessons from that sort of 14-15 vintage when the Flames had started to go young and then had much more success than we were expecting, sooner than we were expecting, right? They had that fairy tale season, the find a way Flames, suddenly they're in the second round of the playoffs, and you know that changed things. That they didn't stick with the script after that. Suddenly they're trading a bunch of draft picks to bring in Dougie Hamilton, and they're and again, there was excitement about those moves, but I think we can look back and say they tried to fast forward through the hard part and it ended up biting them a little bit. And so when I talk about the importance of sticking with the plan, that's why I've had so much praise for Craig Conroy's work in free agency this year, not going beyond 2 years with anybody. That's why I've had praise for Craig Conroy not bringing in a bunch of veteran pieces in these trades, not trying to do this thing on the quick by saying, yep, well, hey, yeah, you take Tanev or Hanifin, but, you know, give us someone who's 29 or 30. That hasn't been the case. Even the slightly older players that they brought in, like Miramanov, they feel like those guys are really on the upswing. You know, the exception there might be Kuzmenko, and that was more to make the salaries work. And so I give Craig Conroy and his crew, because, you know, don't underestimate what Don Maloney and Brad Pascal and Jerome McGinley and a bunch of people have meant to this process, but I give them credit for the way they've stuck with it so far. It's just like, you got to be patient. Craig Conroy's got to be patient. The fan base has to be patient. This is going to be a little bit of a slow and steady build. I think what excites me from the seat that I'm in right now is that I think people are embracing it. I love the enthusiasm in this city about the kids and about what the future might look like. I do think people are embracing this. They got to stick with it.
I agree. And that is something that maybe we didn't see the last time they tried this.
Right.
And to your point, a couple of things happened, and I don't want to say the big picture was lost. I just think maybe from the top down, set expectations a little higher than maybe they should have been.
Yeah.
Getting to the playoffs in 2015 and winning a round against a pitiful Vancouver team.
Yeah. If it didn't
pitiful. Connect,
yeah.
They're fine now. But like the next summer, they traded away. The following summer, they traded a first round pick.
Yeah.
And I get it. They brought in a 23-year-old Norris Trophy caliber defenseman who's still a hell of a player. I get that. But they traded away a first-round pick, what, a year, maybe 2 years into a retool, rebuild, whatever the hell you want to call it?
Yeah.
And that
way
kind
too
of
soon.
Way too soon.
Yeah.
And with fairly emboldened evidence that what happened that year was a flash in the pan.
Yeah.
With no disrespect to the players that were a part of it, I mean, Jiří Hudler never had a season close to that again.
Right.
And, you know, Dennis Weidman played over his head for way too long. Lance Boma.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that wasn't a great team.
No.
And yet they went about it as if, oh, we're done. And that is a great, and Craig Conroy was part of the management team then too.
Yeah.
That's a great example of, you know, maybe what not to do and still keeping your eye on the prize, even if there's some shiny baubles off to the side.
Yeah. And I think for that reason, it's encouraging that Craig Conroy was through that part, because it's easy for us to look back now and say, yeah, geez, that was too early to be trading away first round picks. Yeah. It's easy to look back and say, yeah, geez, you know, they should have known Lance Bowman was never going to score 20 again. Whatever the case might be, I think the important part is don't mess up that part of it again. You've seen it. And so that helps you kind of go through this next part. Like you said, there might be some shiny moments. You know, if Dustin Wolf steals you a bunch of hockey games, you can't let that help you think that you're further along than you actually are.
And there's nothing wrong with them having a season that isn't horrible in this stretch.
Right.
But don't let it distract from the long-term plan. Right. And it feels like Craig Conroy and Jerome Iginla,
mm-hmm.
Brad Pascal and Dave Nonis and the rest of this hockey ops group have got Don Maloney and ownership okay with this being a little bit of a process.
Yeah. I mean, even if you go back to that 14-15 season, what, you know, one of the big things, not that's changed, but there just continues to be more evidence around the NHL of the sort of pain you have to go through for the gain at the end. You know, you look around the league, there's a bunch of franchises that you can point to as an example. You got to learn from that.
So then here's the last question that you and I can tackle until we're back sometime in August or September.
Yeah.
How, like, what is a realistic timeline here? And for the first time that I can remember in an on-the-record conversation, Craig Conroy, either the Friday or the Saturday at the draft in Vegas, sat down with me on the draft floor and said, this is a 3 to 5 year plan. And that was the first time that I can remember Craig like putting somewhat finite parameters on this thing. 3 to 5 years. That to me sounds like, hey, in 3 years, maybe this team can be in the mix and can be competitive again and can be like, you know, fighting for a top three spot in the Pacific Division or fighting for one of the two wild card spots legitimately. And 5 years, maybe this team can be back in a window where they've got that span of being truly competitive, mm-hmm. right? Being where Colorado is right now, or being where Vegas is right now, or being where Florida is right now. Like, these are all teams that I think it's fair. Dallas, these are all teams that are in their window for a certain stretch of time, where for whether it's 4 years, 6 years, 2 years, whatever, you look at all those teams and say that's a Stanley Cup contender for the next little bit. Rangers, one or two other teams could be in there and say, yeah, that team's in their window where now you can legitimately see them winning a Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
And so 5 years from where we are now for the Flames to be there, I think that 3 to 5 years, if three is competitiveness and five is being in your window, I think that's realistic.
Yeah.
Not easy, but realistic.
Yeah, it's certainly closer to five for me, and I'll tell you why. I've just been scribbling this down, like a bunch of ages of what I think the sort of building block pieces you have. And so, you know, in goal, you have a 23-year-old Dustin Wolf. You believe that he can be one of those foundational pieces of a contending team. So he's 23. He's the closest in terms of a guy who's going to be ready age-wise to contend in a few years, right? The building blocks that we see on this blue line are, you know, you're starting with Zane Parekh, who's 18, and Hunter Brustevich, who's 19. In 3 years, those guys are going to be 21 and 22. That's still really young as a defenseman in the NHL, right? Connor Zary, who's kind of one of your foundational pieces on the wing, he's 22. Matt Coronato is 21. Do you have a first-line center of the future yet?
Nope.
No. So let's probably say that guy's 17 and you're hoping to get him in the draft next year. And so when you consider those ages, you know, 5 years becomes more realistic to me, because then Parekh is 23 and Brustevich is 24 and your first-line center of the future is 22. But, you know, in three, those pieces are still really young. Do you expect to have a better, more competitive for the playoff team by then? Absolutely. Can you be contending quite yet? I'm not sure that's realistic.
Yeah, I think five seems realistic for, say they did draft the 18-year-old first line center next year. That means, yeah, as you said, he's 22 in 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
That to me seemed like 22 is when a really good center really starts to hit it in this league.
The leg up that I think the Flames have over some other teams we've seen get superstar centers that they rebuild around, the leg up is that I actually think the Flames have more supporting pieces at the right age in their farm system than most teams do in this process, right? Like, you've got a bunch of wingers at 22 or 21 who can be good pieces moving forward. You've got a bunch of young defensemen. You're not getting that building block center next summer and saying, okay, what do we do next? You have some pieces. You have some really, I think, potentially nice supporting pieces, but you're still missing a couple cornerstones.
You maybe have your goalie.
Yeah.
You maybe have your defender.
Yeah.
You still need that center.
Absolutely.
That remains paramount. Yeah. They're not going to be in that Colorado Dallas window that those teams are in right now if they don't get that center. That much I know. We know that to be the case. And I love the idea of Connor's area as a center on this team. I love what Kadri and Backlund bring to this team. Well, Nazem Kadri and Michael Backlund won't be your superstar, high-end, bona fide number one center in 5 years. I'm very confident of that. As highly as I think of both of those players, that's not it.
Yeah.
And I don't think Connor Zeri is going to be that guy either, as highly as I think of him. I think Connor Zeri, if it all hits the way that it could, and I think it might, I think Connor Zeri could be a great 2C on this team, could be an outstanding option for you as a second center behind that guy.
Yeah.
But you need to find that guy.
Yeah. Really quick.
Oh, yeah.
I told you I was going to ask you.
Darn it.
Just give me one memorable moment from this season.
You know, I know that it won't be super popular right now, but I will remember it, period, for probably the rest of my career. That late January morning where Oliver Shillington had been skating with the team and had already played a couple of American League games. We knew his debut was coming. I'd got a little bit of a wink, wink, nudge, nudge. It's going to be tonight against Columbus. And so I just remember watching morning skate, and everybody had gone down to get ready, and I just remember watching. And I usually try to just keep an eye on who's out and who's not because, you know, the players that stay on late are the players who aren't playing that night 99.9% of the time. And so Uyghur was still out there, and Tanev was still out there. It was a full morning skate. A few other guys were still out there. And I just remember watching, having a pretty good idea that Oliver was going to play, but still waiting to see if he went off the ice before some of the other guys who might get scratched went off. And then I just remember he was standing there at the stupid door talking to one of the trainers. I'm like, 58, are you going to go off the ice or not? So I can just hit send on this tweet.
Yeah.
And then he finally did. And I remember the reaction on Twitter and the reaction he got. And I know that things are not where many wanted it to be with Oliver Shillington here in July. But at that point in late January, just before the All-Star break, seeing him get back into game action, that put a massive smile on my face and still makes me smile when I think about it.
I know we got to get out of here, but one of the cool ones for me to cover was having dealt with him for a few years, knowing the climb, to see Connor Zeri finally get a call up and score on, I believe, the third shift of his NHL career.
Yeah.
That's one that'll stick with me.
And he almost scored again on what would have been one of the top two. If Kadri's goal against Pittsburgh to spark that comeback, that's probably goal of the year.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
But had Zeri scored that goal against Dallas, it might have had competition.
Yeah,
it was.
That's fair.
It was a beauty. Just didn't get finished. Hey, have a great summer, pal.
Yeah, you too. It's always fun, buddy.
It was a hell of a year. I really, podcast numbers, outstanding. As somebody who doesn't always have the most confidence in his or her abilities at times, it's just I really, really do appreciate how Flames fans have taken to this program and have become loyal yeah. listeners, customers, downloaders, all of it. We are approaching $4 million downloads since we launched this in January of 2022.
Wow.
So we're 2.5 years in and we're approaching 4 million downloads on the Flames Talk channel. It's just, couldn't have done it without you. Could have done it without Vix. Could have done it without Piker, Pinder, Matty Rose. It's so awesome to see how this thing has grown.
Yeah.
It's so neat to have been a part of it. And I thank you a lot for being a part of this and helping make it grow into what it has.
Well, I can speak on behalf of all of your loyal listeners when I say nobody in the Calgary sports media deserves a vacation like you do. So please don't text me about the Flames for the next 4 weeks. I'll see you soon.
A deal. Honestly, to Shan and to Cam and to Azam, who's with us right now, but is more often than not staying late with me on our late post game Flames talk. All of that. It's just been a cool year, and thanks to everybody who's been a part of it, to all of the interns who have helped out. Thank you so much. Thanks for listening. And if anything happens in the off season over the next 4 weeks, we'll bust in with an urgent Flames talk as well. That'll wrap up this hour. This hour has been the Sports Drive, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. When it comes to your business, knowing your property secure is better than wondering who's getting in. Get peace of mind at CalgaryLockAndSafe.com.